Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today's the 8th of April, the 98th day of 2024, with 268 days ahead of us on our way to 2025. Spring continued to surprise us this past week, bringing a second major snowstorm, temporarily curtailing electric power for nearly a half million Maine households, and generally showing us all once again that Mother Nature is calling the shots. Speaking of shots, my girlfriend and I received yet another six-month booster vaccine update from our local pharmacist a week ago. Known as Spikevax COVID, a vaccine, our pharmacist tells us, that may be modified not too far in the distant future into a one-year update cycle, as opposed to the current every 6 months plan. In any event, the bottom line is, though deaths in the U.S. from COVID are now in the hundreds per day instead of in the thousands, COVID continues to be enough of a health concern for the medical community to be continuing to recommend semi-annual vaccine boosters. But anything that has to do with anything besides today's eclipse has been for weeks now eclipsed by the impending eclipse. Almost 150 years ago, on the 6th of April, 1875, a total lunar eclipse occurred that was viewable from Amherst, Massachusetts, where Emily Dickinson was living at the time. 2 years later, she wrote a poem about it to a friend. "It sounded as if the streets were running, and then the streets stood still. Eclipse was all we could see at the window, and awe was all we could feel. By and by, the boldest stole out of his covert to see if time was there. Nature was in an opal apron, mixing fresher air." Heavenward, mid-afternoon today in Maine, with the edges of the eclipse beginning around 2:20 and ending around 4:40, we'll have some 3 minutes of totality right around 3:30. And during that time, when the daytime sky will be mostly dark, the red planet Mars and the golden planet Saturn will likely also be visible next to the moon, eclipsing the sun. The sun, of course, is the initiator of our weather, so for a few moments, subtle changes will happen, and amid all the awe and hoopla of Monday afternoon, perhaps a few folks will reflect on the relation between what we are doing as a species on our only planet, Earth. Foremost among our activities is the collective generation annually of some 40 billion tons of greenhouse gases and the contribution of that difficult-to-imagine quantity to our planet's atmosphere, resulting in the scariest estimates that we will experience 2 full degrees of extra warming in the next 10 years, meaning that the average global temperature will be 3.5 degrees centigrade higher than it is today. All this is predicated on 2023 being the hottest year on record, along with the latest projections by climate scientists. Columnist Gwyn Dyer expands on these concerns in his recent post, "Climate, the Anomaly," from a week ago. Meanwhile, some might say on the positive side, our interesting weather of late has made for a fabulous couple of weekends for whitewater canoe and racing enthusiasts in Macro's Downriver Point series to have a blast paddling the St. George and Passagassawakeag rivers, both at record levels of flow and rapids abounding, all due to the sudden infusion of snow and rain and melting temperatures. Today in 1232 is the first documented account of gunpowder having been used in a military engagement when Mongol General Subadai and his army began their siege of the Chinese Jin capital of Kaifeng. Today in 1820, the ancient Greek statue Venus de Milo was discovered on the Aegean island of Milos. Today in 1838, the steamship Great Western began her maiden voyage from Bristol, England to New York City. Today in 1862, John D. Lind patented the aerosol dispenser. Today in 1869, the American Museum of Natural History opened in New York City. Today in 1879, milk was sold in glass bottles for the first time. Today in 1912 in Oslo, Norway, Selma Henny and her husband Hans Wilhelm Henny, a prosperous wholesale fur merchant, and one-time champion bicyclist, welcome their new daughter Sonia into the world. With their support, she started early on a successful life, receiving a pair of ice skates for her birthday after already receiving dance lessons from the legendary ballerina Anna Pavlova. Her parents also hired two tutors, so that by the time Sonia was 8, she was the children's figure skating champion in her age group. At age 10, her parents sent her to London to study with the famed Russian ballerina Karsavina, and by age 12, she had won an Olympic bronze medal in free skating competition. She would also win medals in the 1928, 1932, and 1936 Olympics, while being the world champion from 1927 to 1936. Accordingly, her graceful skating style, influenced by ballet, became the standard. During her 1936 exhibition tour of the United States, Sonia's father, who had become her manager, arranged for movie mogul Daryl F. Zanuck of 20th Century Fox to see Sonia skate. He subsequently gave her a 5-year movie contract. Her first film, 1936's One in a Million, was a hit, and she would make 10 successful films before leaving the movies to form her own ice show. Unfortunately, Sonia's marital involvements were not as successful, for she would marry 3 times, each one to a millionaire. In later years, Sonia continued to skate, but only for exercise, not to perform. She commented, "The ice is so much colder these days." Today is also the birthday in 563 BC of the founder of Buddhism, the Buddha, Nepalese Siddhartha Gautama. In 1460, a Spanish explorer and conquistador searching for the Fountain of Youth, Juan Ponce de Leon. In 1582, of English poet Phineas Fletcher. In 1605, of Flemish painter Louis de Vader. In 1732, of American astronomer David Rittenhouse. In 1850, of the founder of Johns Hopkins Hospital, William Welch. In 1859, of German philosopher Edmund Husserl. In 1892, of Canadian actress Mary Pickford. In 1909, of Italian-American screenwriter John Fante. In 1911, of American Nobel photosynthesis chemist Melvin Calvin. In 1918, of the U.S. First Lady and founder of her eponymous clinic, Betty Ford. In 1921, of British secret agent Pippa Latour. In 1927, of American musician Ollie Mitchell. In 1937, of American journalist Seymour Hersh. In 1938, of Ghanaian diplomat and UN Attorney General Kofi Annan. In 1942, of American film director Douglas Trumbull. In 1947, of English progressive rock guitarist Steve Howe. In 1952, of British rock drummer Adam Woods. And in 1963, of English singer-songwriter Julian Lennon. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with A Word in Edgewise. Here's to the 4th week of spring and to the 15th week of 2024.